All right.
Praise the Lord. Hymn 24, folks. Let's stand for our final hymn tonight prior to the message. And we're going to sing on hymn 24, the first, all three. Praise the Lord. Walking in sunlight, follow my journey over the mountains, through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul. Glory divine, hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, praising and word to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Amen. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul. Glory divine, hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Amen. Please be seated, folks. Glory to God tonight for that heavenly sunlight in which we're able to walk day in, day out by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's only by the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us in his light that we're able to walk in it. Well, praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles tonight and let's open up to the book of Colossians. Now, tonight, church, we're going to be finishing up the book of Colossians. it's been, we probably started it, I want to say either late August or early September, somewhere around there. And we're coming to our final few verses tonight, and which is exciting in that we've learned much. We've been edified and strengthened in our walk of faith. And next Wednesday night, I'm thrilled, we'll be starting the book of Jude. You don't want to miss our studies in the book of Jude. It is a phenomenal book of the Bible. And we'll be blessed for sure. Colossians chapter 4 tonight. And remain seated. Colossians chapter 4. We're going to be finishing up from verse 12 to 18. Somebody tell me, how many verses is that?
Six.
Nope. When you count scripture, always count the bookends.
Yeah.
It's seven. 12 to 18 is seven verses. Praise the Lord. Now, as we come to our final passage here in the book, we're going to see a number of things in closing that Paul gives to the believers at Colossae. Remember, way back when in chapter 2, we were studying the five isms that were attacking the church at Colossae. There was Judaism, there was human secularism, there was Gnosticism, there was asceticism, all these isms, right? But Paul countered every one of them with what? The Word of God. Amen? He destroyed their shakable foundations with the Word of God and showed them the truth. So here in closing, Paul is going to give a reminder concerning those false doctrines. But look with me here in verse number 12. What's that first word in verse 12? Epaphras. Epaphras. Do anybody remember who Epaphras was to the Colossians? Yes, he was the first pastor of the church at Colossae. That's correct, Val. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you all. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the word of God. How we thank you, Lord, that every word of every verse of every book of the Bible is important. How we thank you, Lord, that your word says that it is profitable. All scripture is for our profit, and instructs us in righteousness, Lord. And we're just so thankful for that tonight, that we know we've got a divine book, a book from heaven, and it is the mouthpiece, the holy divine oracles of the living God. Lord, how precious it is tonight to have this book. And oh Lord, how little esteemed it is in this world. It's mind-boggling to think of the inventions and creations of mankind down through the ages. We have computers, Lord, that you can look anything up. I mean, we have rockets that go to other planets. We have nuclear weapons. We have all this technology today. And yet, how little is known of thee in thy word. Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, for revealing to us eternal truth, and we treasure it. We thank you for the book of Colossians. It has been such a blessing walking through this book expositionally. We've learned much, and we've gleaned much from the word by your Holy Spirit. We thank you. Bless it tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, beloved, as we come to the closing of the book tonight, we clearly see Paul's love for those to whom he ministered, as well as for those who ministered with him, alongside him. A number of things he mentions we must take note of here. First, notice his praise of Epaphras. Verse 12, we read, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Now, Laodicea and Hierapolis each had churches, small congregations, and they were considered sister churches, as we say, to the church at Colossae, because they were neighbor cities. Laodicea is just 11 miles geographically from Colossae, and Hierapolis is about the same. So Paul mentions them because these believers would know each other. They would have interaction, you know, and they loved one another. And he said, I want you to read this epistle to them as well. It's important for them to have the word of God as well. Now, a number of things, five particular things concerning Epaphras he gives us. First, that he was a native Colossian. Look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you. That means that Epaphras was a native Colossian of Colossae. Okay? This is important because, like this missionary fellow, Brother Tignor, he's coming next month from Ecuador. And they're planting churches in Ecuador, praise God, getting folks saved, amen, establishing Bible-believing churches. The missionary plan for the New Testament is for the missionary to go to the field, win souls to Jesus Christ, form a church family, and God will call what we call a national, that's a native of that country, to pastor that church. That's what they've done for 14 years, the Tignons. And what happens is, God's plan, because the nationals, know their people. Epaphras is one of these, folks. He was one of them. Amen? This is the ideal situation. He speaks their tongue. He knows their customs. He is very familiar with the way they do things. And Epaphras became the first pastor of the church at Colossae. Okay? So he says, Epaphras, who is one of you. I love that. He's one of you guys. And go to chapter 1 of Colossians. This is the ideal situation. You can't always get a national preacher, but when you can, it's the best situation. Verse 7, as speaking of the gospel, the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of who? Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Paul said, he is your faithful pastor. He's for you a faithful minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. So Epaphras, he was one of them. Don't just glean over that. He was a native. And God called him to preach that, pastor that church in Colossae. Second thing concerning Epaphras, that he was a true servant of Jesus Christ. Look with me in Colossians chapter 4 at verse number 7. All my state, Paul says, shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. A fellow servant in the Lord. Now look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a what? Servant of Christ. Folks, listen to me tonight. I'm telling you, there is no greater title that you can carry in this world than that you are a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no nobler calling than to be his servant. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to go to China. You just have to be a servant. Amen? Now, that could mean sweeping the floor, teaching a Sunday school class, becoming an evangelist, whatever it might be. You have your sphere of servanthood, as I do. And Epaphras is called a servant of Christ. Oh, I love that. Thirdly, that he sent salutation to them. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 we read, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Now back it up to verse number 12. Epaphras. See, Paul saluted them, right? Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. What's the next word? Saluteth you. What does he mean? Saluteth you.
Respect you.
What's that?
Respect you.
It's a respect, and it's also a greeting, a way of, Stephen just got home from Afghanistan. He's an army soldier, right? And he knows that he has to salute his superiors. He's acknowledging them by saluting them, acknowledging their authority. So Epaphras is acknowledging the believers at Colossae that they're on the right track. Amen? He could salute them. Glory to God. Something else. Fourthly, concerning Epaphras, that he prayed fervently for them. Look at verse 12 again. Verse 12 we read, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in what?
Prayers.
Now, here is a ministry all in its on its own. I mean, a prayer ministry, and by the way, a prayer ministry is the most important ministry of all. Because prayer moves mountains. Prayer moves the hand of God. Amen? And Epaphras knew that if he prayed for this church at Colossae, that the Lord would bless them, add more souls to them, and grow them spiritually. And they did. They did. His prayers were effectual. Amen? And I love how it says, laboring fervently. He didn't just, oh Lord, now lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul blessed to keep, you know. No, he prayed fervently for them. Amen? Lord, bless the believers at Colossae. Keep them from the isms and the schisms and the false teachings, Lord. Bless them. And he did. Glory to God. He labored in prayer for them. Look at verse 2. Paul says, continue in what?
Prayer.
And watch in the same with thanksgiving. He says, when God answers that prayer, thank him for it. With all praying also for us. Paul wasn't afraid to ask for prayer, and neither should we be. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. What did Paul pray for? $1 million yacht. No! Paul prayed that the Lord would open a door of utterance. Why? Look at verse 2. That with all praying for us also, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. So I can preach the gospel. That's what Paul prayed for. He said, pray for me that I'll have opportunity to witness and preach the gospel. And boy, didn't he. Didn't he have opportunities? Wow. What a missionary was Paul. He prayed for them. Fifthly, concerning Epaphras. Actually, I got six things for you. That he prayed specifically for them. Look at verse number 12. He says, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Now he's going to tell you what he prayed for them for. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Oh, I love this. I love this verse so much. Because Epaphras prayed for them that they would stand complete, that's entire, in, look at it, verse 12, in all the will of God. He didn't pray for them to do their own thing. He prayed for them to do God's will and to stand in God's will. What a beautiful prayer. I love it. He specifically prayed for them. Go to chapter 1 again. Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Epaphras bragged on them to Paul. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. All this Paul prayed for them. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. What a great prayer to pray for another believer. Amen? This is how we need to pray for each other. Glory to God. I love that. Sixthly, concerning Epaphras, that he was zealous in his service. Back to Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 13. 4:13, he says, for I bear him record that he hath a great what? Zeal. He was zealous. A great zeal for you, Colossians, and for them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. He cared about them all. He went and preached to them all. He discipled them all. Glory to God. Secondly tonight, that was his praise of Epaphras. But secondly, notice Paul's description of Luke. Back in Colossians chapter 4. Look with me at verse 14. Don't miss this. Luke, the beloved physician. Paul calls Luke the beloved physician. Now, there's something you have to understand about Luke. Luke was Paul's constant companion in ministry all the way up to his martyrdom at Rome when they Nero beheaded him. Go to 2 Timothy. I want you to see that Luke was always there for Paul. Look at it. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. What is 2 Timothy chapter 4? Paul's what? Final what? Chapter. It's his final chapter, folks. After 2 Timothy chapter 4 was written, Paul was beheaded. Lucas?
So then when was Hebrews written?
Hebrews, we don't have an exact date on Hebrews. We believe around 57 A.D.
Because if 2 Timothy 4 was his very last chapter of Hebrews, does that mean that Hebrews and 2 Timothy are not...
chronological order? Right. It does mean that. It absolutely means that. The books of the Bible are not, and the King James Bible are not in chronological order, and the Holy Spirit has a reason for that. That's a whole other message, though. Look in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse number 11. Paul is about to be martyred. What's the first word? Only Luke is with me. You see that? Luke was the only man left holding Paul's hand before they executed him. Luke stayed with him to the very end. Now, how did he get with him? I'm so glad you asked. Go to Acts chapter 16. You know who wrote the book of Acts?
That would be Luke.
Who?
That would
be Luke. Yes, you're right, brother. It was Luke. Because Luke was an eyewitness of the Acts of the Apostles. He was there.
Wait, so if that's the case, then was he also with Paul when they were sailing?
Yes.
He mentions I, we, he mentions first person, so...
Right, now that's what I'm going to show you. Watch this. In Acts chapter 16. Look at this. In Acts chapter 16, look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. This is God's calling Paul to preach the gospel in Macedonia, okay? And he obeyed. Verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, what's the next word?
We.
We. Who is the we? Who? That's right. That's right. It's Paul and Luke and the other apostles that were with him. Look at this. And we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we... See, Paul didn't write the book of Acts. He was too busy doing Acts of the Apostles. But there was an eyewitness recording everything that was done. His name is Luke. Look at it. We came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. They formed a church. Glory to God. Go to Acts chapter 20. Let's see it again. All through here in the book of Acts, you'll find Luke mentioning himself and others with him. In Acts chapter 20, look at verse 4. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus, names we've heard before. These going before tarried for us. Look at it. Verse 5, for us at Troas, that's Luke and Paul. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Go to chapter 28, the last chapter of the book of Acts. Guess who's still with him? And I won't take the time, but I'll give you some homework. This week I want you to look up Luke chapter 1. Read the first 6 verses, and then go to Acts chapter 1 and read the first 6 verses. And tell me if the same man didn't write both of those passages. His name is Luke. Lucas.
So in chapters 1 through 1, 2, maybe 3, was Luke presently with the apostles in the upper room when he wrote those?
Very possibly.
Because he mentions they, he doesn't mention himself being there.
Right. It's very possible that he hooked up with them afterward. But anything that happened before Luke got with them was the whole... Now remember, every verse of Scripture is inspired by the Holy Ghost. It's the word of God. So Paul and other apostles and other disciples that were in that upper room absolutely had to have conveyed to Luke exactly what took place.
Yes, and it is inspired by God. But at the same time, many of these people who've written the books have done some research as well.
Yep, absolutely. Verse 15 of chapter 28. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, Luke says, of Paul and me, they came to meet us as far as Appii at Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, notice who goes to Rome with Paul to be incarcerated in the Mamertine prison under Nero. He was in the dungeon, and Luke was with him. Luke never abandoned him. All right, thirdly tonight, he mentions Demas again. Back to Colossians chapter 4. Notice in verse 14, he mentions Demas again. And Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now, I have a sad note for you tonight, folks. Demas is serving God. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, Demas is still serving the Lord. But he doesn't stay serving God. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Something happened to this man, and he quit on God. Don't quit on God, beloved. Look with me here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 10. Verse 9, Paul says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, Timotheus. Why? Verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me. Why would he do that? Look at it. Having loved this present world. He got full of the world. He got worldly. He got carnal. And he quit serving God. Look at it. For Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. He said, Demas quit. Now, that's sad. Because, beloved, listen to me. Many, many disciples of the Lord who once stood on the King James Bible, once preached the Word of God, once went soul winning, gave out gospel tracts, sang the songs, tied, served the Lord, quitting on God. It's happening all over the world, folks. You know, I don't have to tell you. It's an epidemic of apostasy. And Paul said, before that man of sin is revealed, that's what we're going to see in the world. So it started way back here, 2,000 years ago, Philemon. Flip over a page. And you'll be in Philemon, just after Titus. Philemon, chapter of your choice, but go to verse 24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Did you see what Paul called Demas there? He had been a... Now remember, Philemon was written before 2 Timothy 4, like Lucas pointed out, certain books are. Demas was a fellow laborer in the gospel. And now, in 2 Timothy 4:10... he forsook Paul, went into the world, and he's never heard from again. Right? Got to move, brother. Fourthly tonight, back in Colossians chapter 4, he mentions the believers at Laodicea. Look at verse 15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. Why? Paul, there's something prophetic about this passage. Watch what he says. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Now, in Laodicea, there was a brother named Nymphas. He had a house church, okay? It was a true church, just like this church is. And look what happens, verse 16. And when this epistle, Colossians, is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, I won't take any time on the epistle from Laodicea. It was not inspired. Paul mentioned it, but it was not inspired. It's not part of canon, so it's not important. But his book is extremely important. Colossians, he says, read it to the church which is in Laodicea. Why? Something happened to that church in Laodicea that he mentions in verse 15. You want to see it? Go to Revelation chapter 3. Hold your place again in Colossians, our home base. And go to Revelation chapter 3, a very sad passage here, beloved. Why is this in the Bible? You think the Lord wants to warn us? Yeah. He wants to caution us. Look in chapter 3 of Revelation. What happened to the church in Colossae? I'm sorry, in Laodicea. Look at verse 14. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. That's a church in Nympha's house. You see it? At right, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so that God doesn't want him straddling the fence, right? So then, because thou art lukewarm, you ever take a drink, you're really thirsty, and you get a glass of water, but it's warm, and you spit it out like, ah, that's nasty, isn't it? That's how the Lord is too. He doesn't like drinking something lukewarm. Look at it. Neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, Laodiceans, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Uh-oh. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, Laodicea, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and that thou mayest be rich, spiritually rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that they mayest see, Holy Spirit. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door. Now, time out, church. Where was Jesus Christ as far as the church of Laodicea went? Was he in the church? No. He's outside, knocking on the door to come in. Look at it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You see that? The Laodiceans left their first love. And Jesus told him, you need to repent and get right with me and get on fire for me again like you used to be. All right? So Paul says, now back to Colossians chapter 4. Look at it. Verse 16. And when this epistle of Colossians is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. Did Paul know something? I don't know. But the Holy Spirit told him to write that. It was a word of warning. Hey, you know what? If you camp in the book of Colossians with all we've learned from it, you won't backslide, amen? Glory to God, this is good stuff, man. You'll be spirit-filled if you camp in this book of Colossians. I believe that's why he told him to read it to the Colossians. All right, fifthly, tonight, almost done. Notice Paul's word of warning, verse 17. And say to Archippus, Archippus was a preacher, okay? Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Whew. Man, what a message for the preachers here in verse 17. It's a word of warning. And Paul says, you have an awesome responsibility because you have received from the Lord Jesus Christ a dispensation of the gospel. You must fulfill that ministry. You must complete it. In other words, don't quit like Demas. Keep on going, Archippus. Now, look with me here in Philemon. Go back to Philemon just after Titus, just before Hebrews. Look at Philemon 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus. That's from verse 17 of Colossians 4. Archippus, our fellow soldier. See that? And to the church in thy house. Paul said by the Holy Ghost here that Archippus, who was a preacher of the gospel, a pastor of a church, was a soldier of the Lord. You know what, folks? We are all soldiers, fellow soldiers in the Lord's army, right? Why would he use that terminology? Soldier? Don't they carry weapons? don't they go to war? Yeah, the answer, yes, we are soldiers in the Lord's army. And Paul said, war, a good warfare. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Finish your course, he said. Glory to God. So here, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, issues a most solemn charge to Archippus, a young preacher, called by God to fulfill a certain ministry. Look with me in Acts chapter 6. I want to, real quickly, we'll go through this, show you that these guys that they're called to ministry, It's not like being a carpenter, or an electrician, or a plumber. It's something you have to do. I have to preach this book. It's not that, you know, maybe I feel like it, maybe I don't. No! It's a compulsion from within. Look in Acts chapter 6. When you're called, you know you're called. And you can't do anything else. You'd be miserable. In Acts chapter 6, verse number 4. But we, Paul says, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the what?
Ministry
of the word. Amen? A true minister with a ministry has to give himself. Paul said to Timothy in Acts, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, give thyself wholly to the ministry. In other words, don't hold back part. Give it all. Surrender all. Amen? And every Christian should do this, not just preachers. Chapter 12. We'll see this word again. Over and over and over. In Acts chapter 12, look at verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had what? Fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. At that time, John Mark was faithful. Now, look at here. They had a ministry. Look at this. They had a ministry here, right? In Acts chapter 12. And they fulfilled that ministry before going to report to the apostles at Jerusalem. Very important that you see that. Chapter 20. Fulfill your ministry, folks. You may have a prayer ministry. You may have a helps ministry. You may have a teaching ministry. Whatever it might be, fulfill it. Fulfill it. It's important. Chapter 20. Look at verse 24. But none of these things move me, Paul said. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, my life means nothing to me. Fulfilling the ministry Jesus called me to means everything to me. That's a true pastor's heart right there. Chapter 21, look at verse 19. And when he had saluted them, he's leaving Ephesus and their hearts are breaking. There's a love relationship between a pastor and his people. It should be anyway. Some churches, they may not want to go. Paul declared particularly what things God had wrought amongst the Gentiles by his ministry. God was working through Paul's ministry. First Timothy chapter 1. Oh, here's an important verse in 1 Timothy 1. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. There's a divine enablement going on right there. For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, very important, a couple things in this verse. First of all, a man does not put himself into the ministry. If he does, he'll fall flat on the face. And he'll go off and be a garbage collector or something, whatever. Look what he says, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Jesus Christ calls those who he wants for ministry. And look what he says, who hath enabled me. There must be a divine enablement by the Holy Ghost, amen, if that ministry is going to bear any fruit at all. If there's no Holy Spirit enablement, doors are going to be shut down. All right. Now, very important. Sixthly, notice two things Paul tells them in closing. Back in Colossians chapter 4, we're just about done. Two things in closing. He says in verse 18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you, amen. First, he tells them to remember his bonds. Now, Paul was imprisoned most wherever he went. He was getting thrown in jail for preaching Jesus Christ. They tried to shut him up, but they couldn't. Amen? And Paul was in bonds very often. He was in prison. He was beaten with rods and whips. And, you know, he suffered a lot for the Lord. And he says, I want you to remember that. Why? Why would Paul, in closing words, say, remember my bonds? You know why I believe it is? I believe because he wants to arm them with the same mentality. That there's some suffering, unlike Kenneth Copeland's health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, and Joel Osteen's prosperity gospel, there is some suffering in the Christian life. You know? And Paul said, hey, remember my bonds. Remember, you may suffer for serving Jesus, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Secondly, in closing, he gives them the whole key to the Christian life, God's glorious grace. Look at it. Grace be with you. Amen. Beloved, here is the key to unlocking the abundant Christian life that Jesus came to give us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is grace? Grace. What is it, honey?
Patience.
Patience, yeah. It produces patience. Grace is God's unmerited favor. When God's favor is upon you, his strength is upon you, his Holy Spirit is enabling you, you have God's grace operating in your life. Without God's grace, none of us can serve him. Without God's grace, none of us can be victorious in our Christian life, okay? Now, look with me here in chapter 4. Let's finish up. Verse 18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for the book of Colossians. Lord, we have seen so much in the verses of these chapters. It has been a delight to teach through it, verse by verse. And we're just so grateful, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has put so much glory into your word for us to glean, for us to be sanctified by, for us to be strengthened by, for us to be encouraged by. Lord, I'm so thankful that faith is the victory that overcometh the world, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We thank you for tonight, Lord, and we look forward to next week, Lord. We'll begin a new book of Scripture, even the book of Jude. Oh, what a blessing that's going to be. We're excited about it, Lord, and we know that you'll be with us, and your Holy Spirit will teach us many wonderful truths, and as a result, we will draw closer to you week by week. We thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Beloved, let's grab our hymnals. We'll stand for a closing hymn, and then we'll have our prayer meeting. Praise the Lord. Open up your hymnals tonight to 34. Hymn 34. And this is exactly, this hymn talks exactly about what Paul was encouraging them to do. First, second, and fourth, people.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up, let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where floods arise and face dismay. The sun may dwell where these are found. My prayer, my aim is higher ground.
Everybody!
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, lift my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I'm found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand my faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Praise the Lord, people. Glory to God. Let's settle in for our prayer meeting.